go to the Old Testament book of Esther. Esther chapter 1, if you would. Esther chapter 1. On Friday, I believe it was on Friday, I called Brother Dave Dunbar. That's Brother Jason Dunbar's dad. He's the one, I'll remind you, his wife passed away very suddenly just a few weeks back. And so I talked to him and just asked how he was doing and told him we were praying for him. And I hope you will keep praying for Brother Dunbar. When he comes to mind, just pray for him. And he told me, he said, man, you talk about an adjustment. It's been a huge adjustment. And I can well imagine that. But do pray for him, all right? All right, you're there in Esther chapter 1. Let's look at verse 1. Now, it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces. That in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 140 days. That was a whale of a feast. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white, green, and blue hangings, fastened with cords of fine linen and purple, to silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. And also Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, that's Hebrew for drunk, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zethar, and Carcass, the 7 chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. And we're going to leave off reading there tonight. I want to preach to you on the subject of a 4A failure. 4A failure. Now, usually, if you're in school, the best grade to wish for is I want to get that A. If I can just get the A, that's the grade everyone would like to have. So you would naturally think that the man who got all A's would pass, right? But Ahasuerus managed to fail because of all the A's that he had, okay? And that was in spite of the fact that he was a king over a great empire. Persian Empire was a marvelous empire, all right? He sat on a throne in the midst of wealth and glory. His power was such that all he needed was for him to sign a document, and it could mean condemn a host of men to death who were guilty of no crime whatsoever. That's the kind of power he held. It wasn't just in a local area. You're reading there in verse 1, and it says, man, there was 127 provinces, and they went all the way from Ethiopia all the way over into India. Now, I know all of you are geography experts, so you have in your mind right now a picture of all of that area on the globe, all right? Now, if you're not, trust me, it's a big chunk of territory, all right? A lot of the world. But he had a problem. Like many other people, many other men, then and now, the thing he couldn't do was rule himself. He could not rule himself. And it was his lack of control over himself that's evident all through the book of Esther. And we're just going to look at four things, all right? Four things that can afflict you and me if we let it. All right? They all begin with A. And the first one, won't you look with me in verse 12. All right? Notice the very end of that verse. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Man, he had an anger problem. I call it nowadays anger issues. I mean, he just had that. Things didn't go his way. He would give vent to his fury in a hurry. I mean, he just turned it loose. And it didn't take it. You know, if he got charged up and he got mad, and he got mad, he got mad. And that anger was a terrible thing to see. And it was brought on here because his wife refused to obey his order to parade herself out in front of a crowd of drunk men. And don't blame her. She had some courage about her, and she must have had some, you know, strong beliefs that kept her doing right. And she said, I'm not going there. I'll not do that. I'm your wife. You are the king. I'm the queen. I will not do that. And so he immediately got mad. Well, I mean, his anger cranked up. Now maybe you say, well, hey, preacher, of course he did. He was the king. Well, can I say this to you? Just because a person's a king doesn't mean everything they decree is going to be right. Doesn't mean that. And what he asked his wife to do, or really didn't ask her, he commanded her to do it. It was wrong. It was a wrong thing. So he got mad. Well, let's look at a few verses on this business of anger. If you got your Bible there, turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes is not far away from Esther. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And we'll look at a few verses, all right? Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Look down, if you will, in verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Notice this, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. A uncontrolled anger, according to the Bible, is a mark of a fool. The Bible command is not be hasty to be angry. Now, I want you to know it is not wrong to be angry. Ephesians 4:26 tells us to be angry and sin not. The problem is we get angry and we lose control of ourselves. Man, people get angry, they lose control of their tongue. They lose control of their extremities. They start hitting stuff, you know, because they get angry. Sure, none of you have ever done anything like that. We're totally innocent. But there are people that do that. I mean, they just lose control. And that uncontrolled anger causes people to do very, very foolish things. Look back in Proverbs chapter 14, would you? Proverbs chapter 14, right before the book there of Ecclesiastes. Proverbs chapter 14, I want you to look at verse 17. Verse 17. The Bible says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. And a man of wicked devices is hated. There it is. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Hey, that uncontrolled anger causes people to do foolish and oftentimes sinful things. Sinful things. Years ago, I heard about this. There was a couple. At that time, they were members of our church. Now, when this incident happened, I'm not sure they were, okay? Matter of fact, I'm not sure they were saved when this incident happened. But they got in an argument, as husbands and wives rarely do. But they got into an argument, all right? And they started breaking things in the house. And the longer the argument went, the madder they got. When they got through, every dish in the house was broken. Every dish in the house was broken. Now, I'm not going to tell you who that was that did it, all right? Now, it wasn't me. It wasn't me and my wife. It wasn't, you know, it was folks. Other folks, all right? But they did that. Now, you look at that and you go, well, that was foolish. Well, yeah, it was. Well, why'd that happen? Anger. Anger. Uncontrolled anger. We got mad. Because we got mad, we just started breaking things. And I guess they got glad once everything was broken. But then you wonder what they ate on the next meal, you know. Broke everything. You say, that's foolish. Well, that's what happens when you get angry. You react foolishly, all right? Look, folks, that's a message to you and I, okay? Look in Proverbs 16. You're there in 14. Look in chapter 16, verse 32. Verse 32 gives us some good advice. It says to it, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. He that is slow to anger. Hey, it helps us to learn to be slow to anger, but that indicates you're under control. You're under control. I'm not going to ask you how many have ever had a problem with anger or temper. Not going to ask that, all right? Not going to ask you how many got a problem now, okay? I understand the problem of temper. I know what it is to lose my temper. You need to learn to keep control so you don't, we have that terminology, fly off the handle, all right? Just lose it and do something silly. Usually, we may have a problem and we get mad, and we get mad quickly, and then we turn around and do something that makes our bad situation a whole lot worse. Just simply because we got mad. Got mad, all right? I mean, look, you and I, we can get mad. It can happen to us. It can happen to every one of us. But it doesn't have to happen to you and I. We don't have to do it. I will say this to you. You will regret it if you lose control. You will regret it. I do not look back in my lifetime at any time when I let my temper get away where I said, I'm proud of that. Not a time. Didn't ever do anything I was proud of. Never. Many times did things that I was ashamed of. Did some times that I thought, well, boy, that was stupid. Sometimes that it hurt me. One time I got aggravated and I punched the bench I was sitting on. That bench was hard as this right here. My hand hurt for a couple of days. Hey, look, go ahead and say it, Brother Marshall, who said you wanted to say it this morning. Confession is good for the soul, right? That's what he was saying about, all right? Hey, I'm guilty. Guilty. Don't hold back off of that, but I'm not proud of it. I'm not advertising and saying, that's okay. Turn it loose. Let the anger overcome you. Don't do that. But that's what happened to Ahasuerus there in Esther chapter 1. He lost control. He could not control himself. His anger became such that it got away from him, and he had problems. He failed on that first A of anger, all right? He failed on that first A. But I want you to see the next one, all right? I want you to see the next one, because this next gets a hold of a ton of people in our day. Ton of people. Verse 7 of chapter 1 of Esther. The Bible said, and they gave them drink in vessels of gold and royal wine in abundance, according to the state of the king. Now, and the drinking was according to the law. None did compel. I just want to ask you something, all right? You reckon there was any pressure on those people that were not compelled? Now remember, just so you know how the king was, look in chapter 3, would you? Chapter 3, the last verse of chapter 3. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink. But the city Shushan was perplexed. The king didn't just do his drinking at big state parties, okay? Drinking was something he did. Now, look, don't you know that the princes of that kingdom and all of the powerful nobles and everybody that was there, don't you think they knew what the king did? We're talking about a political type situation. Let's face it, if you want political advantage and you want political promotion and you want to move up, you have to go along to get along. Most people believe that. You have to go along to get along. And you go there to that verse, it was nobody was compelled, yet everybody was influenced. Everybody was influenced by the king. Let me just say this to you, all right? Drinking alcoholic beverages is forbidden by the word of God. Amen. All right? And by the way, I can throw this in. People that have trouble with booze usually have trouble with anger also. The two sort of go hand in hand. Alcohol causes folks that are usually in control to lose control, much less for the man who has a problem with anger anyway. It's going to just enhance that thing, all right? Alcohol does not make you more, talented. It doesn't increase your perception. It doesn't increase your ability. No, it puts a damper on it. Puts a damper on that. You've ever been around or seen people that were drinking and their speech gets slurred. They can't speak correctly. They can't walk straight a lot of times. They cannot control themselves. And their bodily functions they lose control of. Hey, that's because of booze, all right? Hey, go on down here with me. Let's go, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 23, would you? Proverbs 23. This is down a little further in my notes, but we can come back to the other things. I don't want to sit here and just talk about drinking, and you think, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. What's wrong with it? Well, Bible, I had a guy tell me one time the Bible didn't say anything against drinking. He said, there's nothing in the Bible that I like against drinking. Well, I thought, well, that doesn't mean anything. That just means there's some parts you won't leave out, all right? Proverbs chapter 23, look at verse 20. Be not among the wine bibbers, among the riotous eaters of flesh. Be not among wine bibbers, all right? Look down verse 31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. The Bible talks about that person. You go back to verse 29 there. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Hey, God's word says, when it comes to that. Take a look at Proverbs 31, all right? Proverbs 31. Look, if you will, in verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Said it's not for them to do that. They're not to do that. So the king here was definitely shouldn't have done it. You and I ought to stay from it, all right? We need to be careful, all right? We need to be careful of this matter. You said, preacher, I know where it's coming. Here's always the thing that comes up. But Jesus turned water into wine. And he did. The only problem is, in the word of God, the word wine covers a multitude of things. That word wine covers a multitude. It covers that which is the fresh squeezed fruit of the vine. In other words, grape juice. Grape juice. All the way to intoxicating liquor. You say, well, how in the world do you know the difference? Well, if it's approved and it's okay, then it's the fruit of the vine. If it's not okay, it's fermented. Remember where we were reading over there in Proverbs when it says, when it moveth itself aright? There's a description of fermentation process. We lived in Georgia years and years ago. Dad pastored there. He was good friends with the sheriff of both counties, the city we lived in and the city right next to us. By the way, it's stretching the definition of city to call them a city, but those towns, all right? And Lyons, Georgia was the next town over, the next county over. And I remember driving by the courthouse and out on the courthouse lawn. Now, you go to some places and the courthouse lawn has got plaques and statues. The Lyons County Courthouse had steels. You said, what? Steels. Where they used to make illegal booze, all right? And they were these steels they had captured. One of them was so big, the tank on it was so big, my dad talked to the sheriff about maybe being able to get it, and we could have made a swimming pool out of it. This was no small deal, all right? And my brother and I were hoping to swim in that booze-making deal, but never did work out, all right? Never did get to see that happen. But man, they made that stuff. And boy, it works on people. Nothing like it to cause you to lose control. Nothing like it to lose control. Hey, the boozing crowd today puts out this and says to drink responsibly. It's sort of like, have you seen those ads for the casinos? And then at the end of it says, if you have a problem with gambling, call this number. There you go. You know, hey, if we're causing you problems, call that number. Maybe they can help you, all right? Hey, it's the same way with drinking responsibly. If you're going to drink responsibly, that means you won't drink. Because you're going to realize the responsibility of it. You're going to realize the responsibility of it. Look, my brother was nearly killed by a guy that I think was drinking when he hit him. I think he was drinking because he was on a road that wasn't open yet. Wasn't even open, wasn't supposed to be there, all right? And I think he was nearly killed by that. I've been and dealt with people in the homes of people who most of the time it was the husband, drank. And boy, it ruined the whole household. Ruined the whole home. Broke the home up. Broke the home up. Look, you're looking at one preacher that believes it is wrong for you to drink. You said, what about socially? Well, go ahead, have a Dr. Pepper, all right? And if you're going to go big time, you can have a Mountain Dew, all right? But nothing else. And you say, well, man, it tastes good. Maybe it does. I don't have any idea. Never done it. Couldn't tell you, all right? Couldn't tell you that. I have talked to people that told me, well, you have to develop a taste for it. Tell me the same thing about eating liver. I'd just soon not develop the taste, all right? I'm not going there, all right? Not going there. Don't develop. Look, I could be doing something, drinking something I enjoy that tastes good while I'm trying to develop a taste for something that don't taste good. Now, I got a feeling that if you drink enough of it, it doesn't bother you taste-wise because it's affected all of your senses. All of your senses are affected. Hey, preacher, you mean we're not supposed to drink? You got it. You figured it out. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. I was at the jail one day visiting, not checked in. I was at the jail visiting. At that particular jail, they took you up to an area where you talked on a phone through a window to the person who was incarcerated. And so I had gone to see somebody, and they had carried me up. They went to get the prisoner. And while I was there, there was this woman, and she was cleaning. And so I got to talking to her. She was a trustee. She was in jail, but she was working as a trustee and cleaning and doing things. I got to talking to her, and I, in my quiet, shy manner, somehow I got around to, how'd you get in here? She said, well, it was a DUI. She said, I don't ever want to come back here. I said, ma'am, I can tell you how to never come back for that. She looked at me and she said, how? I said, never drink again. Don't drink it. Don't drink it. I'll be honest with you. I think a drunk driver ought to be charged with murder. I believe a drunk driver that killed somebody else ought to be charged with murder. Shouldn't be charged with manslaughter. He ought to be charged with murder. Ought to be charged with that. And if my son gets to drinking and gets charged and kills somebody, they ought to charge him with murder. All right? Now, you better not, because I may kill you and they won't have to deal with you, all right? They won't have to deal with you in the law, all right? Hey, look, there's just no reason to do it, okay? There's no reason to do it. Don't give in. There they were. There's Ahasuerus, A+ when it came to alcohol. Alcohol. What a mess. Go to Esther chapter 2. He had a problem with anger, had a great problem with alcohol. Esther chapter 2, look at verse 1. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, and to the custody of Hege, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them, and let the maiden which pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the king, and the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Listen, Ahasuerus was a king in the days when kings had a large harem. And he kept adding to it, all right? That was accepted, and it was expected in that day. But it didn't make it right. Didn't make it right. Listen, that physical relationship between a man and a woman is reserved for marriage. It is reserved for marriage. I mean, it ought to be there. It is not recreation. We've gotten a day, I think, where it's become equated with dating. How crazy. How ungodly. Well, let me say this. I said alcohol and anger go together. Alcohol and adultery are best buddies too. Just best buddy. Hey, that's another way to stay away, another reason to stay away from the booze, all right? Just stay away from it, all right? The fact that he was the king didn't give him the right to dump one wife and take and marry another one. Didn't make that okay, all right? He got mad at Vashti and he said, man, it's going to make them look bad. It's going to make all the women in the kingdom rise up and oppose their husbands. They ought to if their husbands ask for the same thing the king asked for. They all ought to say, you got to be kidding. Ought to have nothing to do with it. Hey, you say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying he had a problem with adultery. He just had a problem with it. His idea was, I can do whatever I want to. Whatever it is. It's just another example, if you will, of his unwillingness to control his own passion. Control his own passion. He thought, man, I can try out all these young virgins and then I'll decide on the one I want to be my queen. What an ungodly, wicked way to do things. Just as ungodly as it can be. Just as ungodly as The Bachelor on TV. It did get a little quiet there, didn't it? Hey, it's wrong. And I say this to you, if you're watching that and you have, you ought to quit. Quit. Just stop. Look, it's things like that that make us get to where we accept things that we should not accept.
Well, they're just so cute together.
I don't care. It's wicked. It's ungodly as it can be. It's immoral. A preacher, it's a new day. Yep, a wicked day. A wicked day. Very wicked day. Man alive. And we ought to draw back from that kind of thing. We ought to never, I wouldn't want to watch something like that and anybody doing a rating think, well, hey, that household was watching that program. He said, preacher, how do you know? Because I saw the advertisements for it, but I never watched the program. There was too much nudity. Let me say that one more time. There was too much nudity. If that was all that was wrong, there was too much nudity on that program. He said, preacher, nobody was nude. I didn't say they were completely nude. I said there was too much nudity. I mean, we live in a day where everybody thinks, peel it off, okay? Nope, cover it up. That's what the Bible says. Cover it up. You know, I'm glad you've got a six-pack, but the only person ought to see it should be your wife. That body you've struggled for, you got all the muscles, good. Let your wife sit and entertain her. You make your muscles jump and dance, whoopee, all right? Entertain her, go for it. That's fine. But keep your clothes on when you're around other people, all right? You ladies, hey, cover it up. You need to make sure it's high enough and long enough, not split up the side, not with little holes here and there. Cover it up. Cover it up. Hey, by the way, in our day, you can cover it up and expose everything. You can cover it up and expose everything. Hey, I'll say this. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's dead wrong. It causes problems. It causes people to lust. And I believe with all my heart, a lot of those women that dress that way, they're doing it on purpose, and that is exactly what they want to do. You say, preacher, that's not me. Then don't dress that way. Don't dress that way. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'll move on. I'll move on. Hey, that king had a problem. He had a problem with anger. He had a problem with he had a problem with alcohol. He had a problem with adultery. And I believe, lastly, he had a problem with arrogance. Arrogance. Oh, my goodness, how some people like to brag about their achievements or their possessions. Pride caused the king to want to show off his wife. Pride caused him to want to show off his wife. Man, you parade out here and show them all your beauty. She said, uh-uh, not going to do it. Don't do it. Hey, the more people give themselves to partying, the worse their character becomes. Okay? The worse it becomes. That king was showing off his wealth, so why not his wife? I'll show you my wealth, man. Look at all this. I got all these vessels. Every vessel you're drinking out of belongs to me. They're all, would you notice, they're made out of gold. That's why they're heavy the way they are. They're gold vessels. And let's give you a little point of how rich I am. Now, you come to my house, I'll give you a plastic cup to drink out of. And it's liable to have the name of Risky's Barbecue on the side, all right? If you go there long enough, you can have a set for eight, all right? You know, you just do your part, you can have a beautiful set of wonderful glasses to show off. But, I mean, here's that king, arrogant, pride. Pride is one thing, but arrogance, I believe, takes it a step further. then it becomes in your face, if you will, all right? It leads to the attitude, I'm so good, I can do anything I want to. That attitude will ruin you with God and man. I had a preacher friend that made the news a few years ago from over in Mesquite. And I can remember telling my wife, I liked him as far as a guy goes, but I told her, I said, he's got a problem with arrogance. He's got a problem with arrogance. And he thought he could do anything he wanted to. But he got caught in his sin, and he killed himself rather than face the music. Hey, why? Arrogance. Look, nobody's immune from it. It's not something we can sit down and say, that never happened to me. I believe it can happen to everybody. If you let that pride begin to build, and before long you think, I can do whatever I want to do. Some people, especially very, very wealthy individuals, think, I can do whatever I want to do. And nobody can stop me. I can hire the best lawyers. I can get off and all of that. And let me say this. Maybe they do. But they're going to stand before God one day. And every dime you've got and every title you hold will mean absolutely nothing before God. Nothing before Him. You and I will stand before Him. And I want to be able to stand there. And I got enough things to answer for. But I don't want to add to the list. Don't want to add to the list. There's the king. He was a 4A failure. Failure. Arrogance, adultery, alcohol, anger. I just want to ask you this. Are you developing any of those? Are you developing any of those? Are you leaning that direction? Are you leaning that direction? Don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen to you. You said, well, Ahasuerus got away with it. No, he didn't. Because the day came where he stood before God. The day came where he stood before God. You can get away with a lot of things maybe here on this earth. But you will stand before God. And the judgment of God, that decree is eternal. It's eternal. The Bible says that there will come a time where God's going to wipe the tears away in heaven. You stop and think, why were those tears there? Boy, the truth of the matter is, heaven ought to be a place of rejoicing. It ought to be a place of getting there and just glory to God, shouting hallelujah. And just enjoying being in the presence of our Savior. So why are some of those people weeping? It's got to be because they lost something. They lost something. They had to answer for something. Brokenhearted. Brokenhearted. Man, I don't want to face that. I don't want to face that. I don't want you to face that. Remember, in the Sunday school lesson in the adult class this morning, remember everything happened to those people back there in that Old Testament? It's for our admonition. It's for our learning. It's not so we can say, hey, man, let's try that. No, it's where we'll look at it and say, boy, that was dumb. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Don't want to let that happen to me. Listen, it's up to you. You make the decision what you're going to do. You make the decision what you're going to do. So what will you do? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, tonight you'd just speak to our hearts. Lord, I don't know of folks that are here tonight that have a problem in any one of these areas, a bad problem in any one of these areas. I don't know. I didn't preach at anyone, but I preached to everyone. Because, Lord, I know it can happen to us. Lord, I've seen good Christians destroyed by alcohol. I've seen good Christians destroyed by anger. Lord, we just go to these other things. They don't help us, but they hurt. Lord, I pray you'd deal with every heart. I pray everyone that's here tonight be open to you. And we'd listen. We'd hear you. We'd pay attention. And Lord, if there's conviction and there's work that needs to be done at the altar, Lord, would you help folks to come? Lord, help them not to sit back and say, what will people think? But Lord, I pray everyone here not be focused on another. We'd be focused on ourselves. We'd look at ourselves and say, Lord, what do I need? And we'd get the help we need tonight. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand tonight as we sing the invitation hymn? If God's speaking to you, the altars are here. The altars are here. If you need to come, just come. Just come. I realize you say, preacher, what are people going to think? We better not worry about that. We better think about what God knows. And just let God speak to you and deal with you. Or if you need to come, would you come tonight? While we sing these verses, don't wait. Come on, come on. Come, the old Lamb of God.